Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 4 of the Pinto Beans and Cake podcast. I am your host, Mika Mache. Pinto Beans and Cake is a monthly podcast showcasing fellow artists, entrepreneurs, and businessmen and women around Houston, the state of Texas, and beyond. Today, on this episode, I will be presenting to you makeup artist and eyebrow design extraordinaire, Nakima Brown of Nakima Brown Beauty. Welcome to my podcast, Nakima.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful. Thank you.
Good, good. Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm excited to be interviewing and talking with you today. So let's just dig in and begin with a little primer and foundation. You know, got my little corny joke. Instead of concealer, we're going to use some revealer, you know, because you are revealing who you are, right?
This is true.
Okay. So, Nakima, tell our listeners where you are from.
I am actually from right here in Houston, Texas, H-Town for real.
All right, H-Town. What high school did you graduate from?
Well, that's a great question. Are you ready for this long answer?
Go ahead. We're all ears.
I graduated from the High School for Law Enforcement and Criminal Justice.
Okay. Interesting. I just learned something new, y'all. In what field were you working before you started your own business?
Well, before I started my business, I was in the oil and gas industry. Well, that was when I went full-time, When I started my business, I was actually in the medical field.
In the medical field. Okay. So when you moved and transitioned from corporate America to your business full time, like, how difficult was that transition for you?
It really wasn't difficult for me at all, because for as long as I can remember, I have been psychologically unemployable. So what that basically means.
Yeah, explain that. Psychologically unemployable?
So what that basically means is from 15 to about 36, I think I was 36 when I got laid off. I got fired from every job I ever had.
Oh, wow.
Except for three.
Wow.
And the three that I did not get fired from, now three doesn't seem like a big number, but it is a big number when you've had, well, it's a small number actually when you've had as many jobs as I've had. Mm-hmm. But the three that I did not get fired from, the first one was a small insurance company. And they used to give me my check on Friday and tell me not to cash it until Monday. So, you know, that was going to be a problem.
Oh, okay.
And then the second one, I was so close to getting fired that my manager used to email me and say things like, I see you clocked in from lunch 1 minute early and I'm not approving overtime. You know what? My car note is not going to get paid because you're not giving me this 1 minute of overtime.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, really? So I was on the verge of getting fired. And then the last one I got laid off from. So that's my life. So I literally just, I don't do well working for other people.
Okay. I see that. All right. Wow. So with you being in that kind of used to being laid off and, you know, those types of situations, I guess, I mean, my question is, was there any fear for you of the unknown moving away from corporate America in general, just, you know, knowing you were going into your business full time?
I wouldn't say that there was fear. You know, there's always that concern of, am I going to be able to make everything, you know, work? But for me, at the time when I got laid off, everything was in such working order. You know, things had just kind of fallen into place right before that. Mm-hmm. And there were some things that I had done and some contracts that I had secured right before even finding out that I was getting laid off. So that when I found out I was getting laid off, I was like, oh, I see you, God. I see how you set me up. Mm-hmm. So it was wonderful. Like, I had no fear whatsoever because I just knew, like, I'm gonna go beast this.
Right, right. So, that's got to be a good feeling. I mean, I hear from entrepreneurs a lot, and they say that, you know, they kind of jumped and jumped on faith and they had different situations, but sometimes you don't see and they still move forward. And so it helps when you can kind of see around the corner a little bit sometimes. Mm-hmm. Helps you to kind of move forward with a little more confidence, I guess, in what you're about to do. So that's actually pretty good.
So I definitely won't say that there weren't things that came up that were like, oh, I wasn't prepared for this.
Yeah.
But from the perspective of was I nervous? Was I fearful? I wasn't fearful. And any time that there was a situation that would come up, like for instance, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, your income can fluctuate.
Yes.
So if there was a time when I was like, oh, I didn't get this contract or whatever, I would just kind of look down the end of the road and be like, okay, this is what I need to do in the meantime to, you know, to replace this.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. for me, it was like these challenges that kept coming up. And I can't say that I didn't ever like feel like, oh my God, what am I going to do? But when you have like this lion mentality and it's like, you got to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
You only can spend like 2.5 seconds being like, oh my God. After that, right. You have to jump into solution mode.
Right.
So it's been a big lesson in learning to jump into solution mode fast.
Right, right. That lion mentality, I like that. It's like, okay, get ready.
Let's do it.
So now, Nakima, you are not only just a makeup artist. You also offer facials for face and body. Mm-hmm. You offer waxing services, eyebrow design, and my personal new favorite, yoni steaming.
Yes.
For both men and women, y'all. So we're going to get into that a little bit later. But first, I do want to ask you, and I know we kind of jumped straight from corporate America into getting in your business, but there's a story that you have that I heard a few weeks ago, about a month or so ago, and I really like that story. So I call it the name change story, but basically your business used to be Love Faces by Nikki.
Yes.
And now you go by Nakima Brown Beauty.
Correct.
So can you explain what happened? Like, what caused that name? What caused you to change the name of your business?
Absolutely. So, of course, my name is Nakima Brown, and I love my name, and people tend to love my name when they hear it. But before I started my business, I was an entrepreneur with another business. And then life kind of happened. Some things happened. I needed to go back into corporate America. So originally I never had a problem getting a job, even though I got fired a lot. Never had a problem getting a job, right?
Right, right.
So I put my resume out. I'm college degreed. I've had really great jobs in the sense of my experience. And so I put my resume out and I'm applying and ain't nobody calling me and I'm applying and I'm like, wait, what's happening? You know, so after about a year of this, you know, going on, I ran across this article from another black woman who had a more what we call ethnic name, right?
Okay.
And she had the same experience, applying, college degree, have a great background, just nobody's calling her. And she changed her name on her resume to something more racially ambiguous and immediately started getting phone calls, interviews, job offers. And so I was like, well, let me test this out. So when I was in middle school, my favorite teacher, Miss Moore, shout out to Edith Moore, Lanier Middle School.
All right.
But she used to call me Nikki. Okay. And so I changed my name on my resume to Nikki. I changed nothing else. My experience was the same. My background, everything was the same. And I immediately, like this other lady, started getting calls for interviews and got a job. So when I started my business, I wanted to make sure that people judge me by my talent,
mm-hmm.
that they didn't prejudge my website or my business name when I put Nakima.
Right.
So I made it Love Faces by Nikki, and I was Love Faces by Nikki for the 4 years. For 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I built my business. I built my reputation. I built my clientele around that. But when people would meet me, I never introduced myself as Nikki. I always introduced myself as Nakima. Mm-hmm. Because at this point, you've already booked me.
Yeah.
At this point, you've already seen my work. So now I need to show you or tell you who I really am. So now I decided, as I'm expanding, as I'm growing my business, I paid my dues as Nikki. I've showed the world who I am and what I do. At this point, if you don't want to book me because my name is Nakima, then you're not my ideal client.
Right.
So
right.
When I decided to make the turn and introduce all of the services that I do, Love Faces was a makeup artist. Okay. Love Faces, it even sounds like, oh my God, Love Faces. Like
right.
She must do makeup.
Right, right.
So when I got ready to expand, I was like, okay, what do I want people to hear? Or what do I want people to say when they're looking for me? call me by my name. Yes. So it's Nikki Brown Beauty, and that is who I am. I've grown in that way.
Love that.
And I'm excited about it.
Love that. Love that. Man, that it's a very true thing that's happening right now. This whole, you know, you got to change your name just a little bit to just mm-hmm. get recognized or even looked at a second time. And it's actually kind of, it's a shame, but some of the things that we have to deal with as a culture, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, things slowly change, but they still stay the same. So yeah. I love that story though. I love that. So let's get into some of what, with the things that you do in your business, you know, makeup. So some people may not know the difference between airbrush and traditional makeup application. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, you know, do, but there are some people that still don't. And so if you could just explain the difference between the two and, you know, how long one may last versus the other and all that stuff to our listeners.
Sure thing. So we'll start with traditional or conventional makeup. Most people do know what that is. So that is the standard foundation, liquid foundation, cream foundation, powder foundations uh-huh. that we're used to seeing when we go into the department store uh-huh. or you go into the MAC store, places like that. Those products typically are more silicone based, so they tend to sit on top of the skin versus really going into the skin, blending okay. into the skin. So you uh-huh. have to do a lot more work to blend those, but that's what people are used to, right? Mm-hmm. They're used to that type of coverage. And so that is, even for someone like myself who has I have a light coverage aesthetic. Mm-hmm. I don't like for my client to feel like they have a lot of stuff on their face.
Okay.
But it's still something that you know it's on, right? Even when it feels weightless, you know it's there. Right. You touch it, it transfers. Mm-hmm. And so many people have just grown accustomed to that. Mm-hmm. They don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to get
on my
clothes.
That's just what they know. That's just what it is. Yeah. And so, okay.
Yeah. And a lot of my clients do get conventional makeup mm-hmm. because, again, that's what they're accustomed to. Mm-hmm. Airbrush, the brand that I use, is a botanical-based foundation. Mm-hmm. So that means it's more natural-based. It's going to go on lighter. It's going to be a better product for your skin. And so I like it because I can see you through the makeup. I can mm-hmm. see you, and your skin just looks natural. So it's applied through an airbrush gun. So basically what I do is I pour, it's a very, very thin concentration of foundation
okay.
Into a little gun, as we call it. And then when I turn it on, it filters air through to push the foundation out.
Okay.
So it imagine it being like a mist coming onto your
right,
skin.
Right.
So with that, it blends as I'm applying it. And you don't have to put a lot onto you. Even when you layer it, it's getting like into your skin. So there's no feeling to it.
Okay.
You feel mm-hmm. the air as it's being applied, but you don't feel anything when it's on. The other thing about airbrush foundation is that it's waterproof. So when you see these images in magazines and even on TV where people are being photographed underwater or they're getting in the water and they're getting
yeah.
out and they look amazing, they probably have on airbrush 9 times out of 10. So it's a very, very light application. In terms of which one lasts longer, that really is going to depend on your skin. So mm-hmm. I'm an esthetician, so I want my clients to wash their faces every day.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I have several clients, because they love their makeup so much, they will stretch it out at least 2 days. And so
I've been one of those people.
They will stretch it out. And I have some that will stretch it beyond 2 days. And I'm like, little girl, you know, do not tag me to any more pictures.
Yeah, it's 4-day-old makeup. It's 4-day-old that makeup.
You got on one eyelash right. at this point. You just slept it off. But but I've had clients go both ways. If a person is very, very oily, their airbrush is probably not going to last 2 to 3 days, but I would definitely give it, you know, a little bit more than 24 hours. Mm-hmm, so you could probably mm-hmm. get a day and a half out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Conventional makeup, same thing though, but it really depends more on the skin type,
okay.
how long mm-hmm. it will last. But I will say this, both of them, my clients will wear for more than one day, more than just the day that I've applied it
okay.
and it looks great. So,
okay.
Yeah.
and you've done weddings and special events and everything, right? You're just available for all of that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Cool. So what has been the most challenging makeup or client experience you've had?
Oh, goodness. I would have to say, so I'm going to answer that with two different responses.
Okay.
So the most challenging or difficult has been to transform a man into a woman.
Wow.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem like it would be that difficult, mm-hmm. but you got to realize that men oftentimes have very bushy eyebrows. They have much bigger eyebrows okay. than a woman would have.
Yeah.
So when you are looking to transform them, you've got to like literally glue their eyebrows down and cover them up. You got to use a dryer, like a blow dryer, to get it dry and then put some powder and cake and stuff on it and all of this. So, and then you've got to soften the features, their harsh features.
Right.
So
okay.
it is very interesting. I've done it a couple times. Actually, I've done it a few times.
What events were you doing it for? What was going on that had you?
So the first time that I had to transform a man, I actually transformed two men, and it was when I launched my brand Love Faces by Nikki.
Oh.
I had an official launch in Houston, and I was looking for the face of Love Faces. So okay. I had these different models that had applied to be the face. We did photo shoots, and you know, I had two guys that I wanted to transform. Mm-hmm. And baby, when I tell you, that was a sight. And they really had a good time, and they thought it was great. When I look at it now, I'm like, yeah. Girl,
what were you doing?
What kind of devilment was that you put on their faces? But I've had to do it since then. So I did a guy for Halloween, and he was just going as a woman to uh-huh. their karaoke bar or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
By the time it was all said and done, when he put the wig on and the outfit,
yeah.
he literally looked like Peggy Bundy.
Oh, my God.
It was hilarious,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It was really cool. So that's what I would say for that. But when mm-hmm. I talk about, when you ask me mm-hmm. about challenges,
yes.
I would say for sure more mature skin can be challenging because it tends to be thinner uh-huh. and it tends to move more. So if you're trying to, mm-hmm. yeah, if you're trying to do an application on more mature skin, what I tend to do is use a powder puff on my fingers. Like I'll put one on my fingers and that's what I will use to kind of hold the skin taut so that I can do right. the application without the skin moving around mm-hmm. so much. You got to be real gentle with it because you don't want to add any other, you know, stretching and damage to it.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
But that can be difficult. And then too, a lot of times older clients are not accustomed to getting their makeup done. So when it comes time to do things like eyeliner and putting lashes on, you're literally like chasing a moving target uh-huh. because their eyes are constantly, you know, blinking or moving or they're
right.
kind of nervous.
Right.
And
that
so,
makes sense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so that can be a little challenging. Mm-hmm. And I just have to take my time. You know, I try to make sure that I allot more time for them because I know that I'm dealing with a few extra, you know, challenges, but
right.
all in all, I love it. I love when they see themselves
yeah,
and
bet.
They just, I mean, when you see, especially a seasoned client who either has never had their makeup done or they haven't had their makeup done in many, many years.
Yeah.
And that was when, you know, you just put a little rouge on, as they say,
right, right.
Put a little rouge on and some lip gloss or something. And so when they get this full face of makeup and they see themselves and they look 10, 20 years younger, it's very emotional for them because they look like their former selves. So
that's so sweet. You're transforming people's lives.
Yes, girl, yes. It's more than makeup.
Right.
It's more than
yes,
makeup,
I,
sure.
I believe that. So that goes to my next question. And what's been the most positive experience you've had in this whole business? You know, just in general, overall.
Listen, every time that you make a woman look good on the outside, mm-hmm. you impact her inside. And that's why my original business was Love Faces.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew that I was doing more than just putting makeup on a person.
Right.
There literally has never been a time that a person has experienced their service and gotten out of the chair and didn't feel amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Mm-hmm. And so you end up touching things in people that you didn't even know about, you didn't sign up for. I've had clients tell me about their self-esteem issues or about, you know, oh, maybe they have gained some weight, or maybe they lost some weight and they just don't feel as beautiful, or they have a challenge. They have a skin issue that has come upon them and they just don't feel like they look as great. And so when I'm able to go in and do what I do, and I, you know, you've been with me, so, you know, I joke and I laugh and whatever is necessary to get your energy and your spirit up, that's what I'm going to do. And so I've had several of my clients to say that coming to me is almost like therapy. It's like they need the energy. They need to be in that space. And that is just a blessing. Like, that just makes me feel like God is using me through something that I enjoy to touch people in a way that makes them feel good and makes me feel good. Yeah. So that's the most rewarding thing overall, is just watching the transformation. I'll never forget, I had a client who, her sister booked her an appointment for me, with me for her birthday. I think she was turning 50. Okay. She might have been turning 50. But she came in the door crying.
Aww.
I don't know what had happened, but she was sad. And she just, everything about her face was like turned down. And I was like, okay, game on. Like, we gotta get this up.
Right.
Baby. When I, let me tell, baby, when I say you couldn't tell her anything when she got out that chair, I mean, you could not tell her one thing. And to this day, if she has an event, she is calling me.
Aww.
She's inboxing me or what have you. And that just, to watch that transformation, I don't know what was going on. I still to this day don't know what the issue was.
Right.
But I know that when she got there, she was not feeling it. You know what I mean? And when she left, like I said, you couldn't tell her one single solitary thing.
That is awesome.
And that was amazing. That was a blessing.
That's a beautiful thing. And it just reminds me, you know, we're friends on Facebook. And so you do makeup and then you post the before and after pictures. Then you also have this special thing that you do, which a lot of makeup artists don't do. I haven't seen another makeup artist do this consistently. Let's just say that. But you have a short video that shows them being revealed to themselves after you're done. And it's just the light that you see in their faces and the little extra oomph and pep in their step. And you just see them from the shoulder up, but you can feel the whole body just like vibing and feeling themselves. I love that. I like that, that extra touch. And it just goes a long way, because people remember how you make them feel.
Absolutely.
Whatever you say, it's about how you make them feel. They're going to remember that. And so that comes across very well online too, just let you know. I'm just
Thank
from my
you.
Experience and stuff with that. So
Thank
that's
you.
Awesome. So I love that. That's very, very positive stuff. Okay. So I've gotten some facials from you before. So you offer facials. Now, what I didn't know is that you also offer facials for the body, which when I first heard that, I was like, wait a minute, facial for the body? Like, how do you get a facial for the body?
So you got to remember, right, when we're doing a facial on your face, we're treating your skin. Well, your entire body is covered in skin.
Yeah.
And that's your biggest organ. So just like a person can have, let's say, dry skin on their face, they can have acne on their face. They can have whatever you can have on your face, you literally can have anywhere else. So some of the most common areas that people will come in and get a facial is on their back, especially like people who work in environments where they sweat a lot, or teenagers or whatever, that get acne, pimples, all of that on their backs. And when you think about it, even though we have tools to do this, most people don't really get their backs real good when they're bathing. And so you're not treating that skin the same way. So the same exact process, from the steam to the cleansing to the exfoliating to the extractions, all of the things that we do on your face, we would do on your back as well. I do facials for the underarms. When people, you got to think about it, especially when you do hair removal under your arms, and even, well, primarily when you do hair removal under your arms, you can get ingrowns, you can have blackheads, and you gotta think about it, that skin, it's one big fold. Right. And so there's friction that's happening quite often there in that area. And then it's not exposed. It doesn't get to air out as much. So it can have congested follicles. It could have just all kinds of congestion and things that are happening underneath your arms. People get vajacials. You get, you know, a
facial. Vajacials, y'all. Did y'all hear that? Vajacials. Go on.
Vajacials, yes. So you get a facial on your vagina area. And you got to think about this. The ladies can attest to this. Sometimes that skin is, it's hyperpigmented. It's darker than other skin.
Right.
If you, again, if you do hair removal of any sort, you can end up with ingrown hairs, which then can cause other, you know, things. And then there's a lot of friction that goes on in that area too. So you can end up with blackheads and whiteheads and, your pores being clogged, just different things like that. So what I like to do, I like to combine it with their waxing service. But even if you don't combine it with the waxing, you can still get it done. But what we do is we treat that hyperpigmentation. So we lighten that skin up so that it looks like the rest of it. We want to make sure that it's very soft. So we do the exfoliation. We do the mask on it. We do the steam treatment. Everything that we would do on your face, because you want that area to be as soft and gentle as possible. And I'm just going to say that the men folk in your life will enjoy it as well. So even a butt facial, just like you get pimples and stuff on your back, you can get them on your butt. Same thing. You know, you want when he smack it for it to be, you know, nice and soft and supple. So
soft and supple for the smacking, y'all.
Soft and supple for the smacking. So literally, everywhere that you have skin, you can have a facial. Same thing for waxing. You know, we can wax the face, which, you know, that can be eyebrows, lip, chin, sideburns. We can do all of that. We wax underarms. We wax backs. We wax, you know, vaginas. We wax, and that can be Brazilian or bikini. You know, so if you're afraid to get a full-on Brazilian, but you don't want, you know, looking like you got a little buckwheat sticking out in your thigh area, you know, you just get that done. But legs, arms, everything. People even get their toes waxed.
Now, I know. Okay, now that's a new one that I heard. Because I know people have hair on toes, but I didn't think people went as far as to get that wax. I'm thinking just a quick rub across with a razor at the house and you good.
Well, see, but you got to realize, so when you use a razor, you're only cutting the hair from the top. It's immediately going to come back through, and that causes itching and irritation.
But the toes, though?
Yes.
Okay.
And razors also cause hyperpigmentation, so that's a darkening of the skin. So razors, I tell people, if you can avoid shaving, don't shave. That's probably the worst thing you can do for your skin. And waxing, people are, sometimes people are afraid of it. It is so quick. It is so quick, and it's not, I won't say that it's not painful at all, because that's going to depend on your pain tolerance. I will tell you that my pain tolerance is a negative one, and I love to get waxed, you know, but it's effective, it's long lasting, it doesn't cause hyperpigmentation. Over time, your hair will thin out, so you have fewer instances of ingrowns, you have fewer, you don't need to wax as often because you have trained the hair. So I definitely encourage people to wax unless you're going to get laser hair removal, which, you know, for black people and anybody who basically has, say Latin olive colored skin and darker, you know, laser hair removal may not be an option for you because it recognizes the pigmentation. It recognizes the melanin.
So it'll take it out.
Well, it won't recognize the hair because your skin is too dark. You see what I mean? So it's not effective for us. And when we do get it, we can get, we can, again, get more hyperpigmentation. So there are other treatments that will, they're like laser hair removal for, darker skin. But the point to what I'm saying is shaving definitely is not your friend. And neither are depilatories, which are the, like the Nair and the... the Veet and things like that.
That's the ones that you can just put on your skin and then like let the water and put the towel and just rub right. and it comes off. Those aren't good either for
Think
you.
Think about it. Have you ever smelled it?
Yeah.
It smells like a perm.
Yes.
You're basically putting a perm on the largest organ of your body. So those chemicals are getting into your skin, into your pores, and into your bloodstream.
Never thought about it like that, mm-hmm. but you're absolutely right because that smell is like so strong and it is like a perm, like strong, like the most purest form of perm of lye, exactly.
And you can, if you think about it, just like you can burn a chemical burn with the perm, you can get a chemical burn from those products as well if you leave them on too long. And I'm speaking from experience. Before I knew what I know about waxing and before I became an esthetician, that's how I would remove my hair. I knew enough not to shave.
Yeah.
But I didn't know the damage of those. But I always had questions about the smell. So I would do my best to like just leave it on just long enough for it to get the hair off. But as I got to, you know, more educated mm-hmm. about it, mm-hmm. and I even have been burned before, mm-hmm. you know, you, mm-hmm. at least this is what I used to do. I used to put it on all the places that I wanted to remove my hair, but wherever you put it first, it's there the longest.
Right.
And I would start under my arms. And baby, when I tell you that under, I had to walk around with my arm up for like days.
No.
And I would sleep with the ice pack under there because it was so raw. So, yeah, I don't recommend that to anybody.
So, no razor.
No razors.
None of that Nair and Veet stuff.
Correct.
But then everyone doesn't want, like, they may go get waxed, mm-hmm. their vagina waxed, but they may not want to do the leg wax, like,
what do they professionally. Want hair on their
legs, well, but they don't want hair on their legs, but then, you know, it's just kind of like, what's the other alternative? If they don't want to pay the extra for the waxing of the legs, I don't know. I'm just trying to, you know.
Well, let's think about this. And this is just with anything that is about health, right? And about preserving your body. Mm-hmm. You're going to pay for it now. You're going to pay for it later. Sure. You know what I mean? And when you wax your legs, you probably will only have to get them waxed once a month. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So just the same way that we budget our nails and we budget our lashes and all these things, just budget that in as well.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, would you rather pay, let's say, $8 for a bottle of Veet that you can use? Because you're going to use it more often. You know what I mean? That hair starts to grow back in like 2 days mm-hmm. still. Mm-hmm. So would you rather pay $8 for a bottle of Veet that might get you, I don't know, 10 or 12 treatments mm-hmm. and then later on down the line find out that you have some sort of melanoma or some sort of cancer mm-hmm, mm-hmm. or would you rather use a safe and harmless wax once a month and not have to worry about that?
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah, I can see that from that point. Wow.
And you don't always have to get the whole leg waxed. Like for me, I don't really grow hair above my knees.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And when there is like a little hair,
yeah.
literally I can wax and I probably won't have to touch it again for 6 months.
Right. Right.
So if you're getting just the knee down, mm-hmm. that's considered a half leg wax. It doesn't cost the same oh. as much as a full leg wax.
See, I didn't know that. I thought the from the ankle to the knee was the leg. Like no, as far as considering wax, I didn't think that part was. I thought that would be extra.
No, well, that's...
Well, I mean, it's extra, but, you know, I'm thinking...
Yeah.
The price is, like, just for this, and then there's more on top of that for the rest of it.
Right. So, typically, when you say full leg wax price, it's probably going to be maybe $40, something like that.
Okay.
But a regular leg wax is usually going to be around $20, $25.
Okay.
You know, something
okay.
like that.
Okay.
But yeah, and then there's always promotions. Like for me personally, I do combos. Because mm-hmm. typically if you're going to come get wax, just get it all done at one time. Mm-hmm. That way you don't have to keep coming back. So most places will do combos mm-hmm. and then you can get two body parts waxed for this particular price right. or whatever. But
right.
yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
And waxing is good for people with sensitive skin too, right? Like,
yes, it depends on the type of wax that you use.
Okay.
Now, what I use in my studio is good for people with sensitive skin. Mm-hmm. If you are super, super sensitive, or there are certain medications that people are taking that they should not get waxed.
Okay.
And, you know, the wax specialist, myself or whomever, will go over that with that person. But for instance, if a person is on an acne medicine called Accutane, it thins their skin. It makes it really, really thin. So there are certain types of facials that they can't get. There's definitely waxing services that they can't get. Just different things that they just can't do. But then again, it's such a strong medication, like... You have to agree. You have to sign a waiver that you will not try to get pregnant while you're on it. Like, it's very strong.
Right.
But if your skin is like super duper sensitive, sugaring may be better for you.
I've heard of sugaring. Yeah.
Okay. But the type of wax that I use, I always try to make sure that my products are for the most sensitive person, because if the most sensitive person can't handle it, then the people who aren't sensitive are going to be fine. Right. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So the waxing that I do, it does include people who are very sensitive.
Okay. And you use a lot of your products are natural, as close to natural as possible.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. That's my preference. So
let's talk about the eyebrow design for a second. That's a challenging thing. I mean, when I try to be shaping my eyebrows, one is really perfect. The other one is like who, what, when, where. So how did you, I mean, I guess, you know, cause it says eyebrow design. So when you said that to me, when we were talking about, you know, speaking later about all this, I was like, okay, I've never heard someone say I do eyebrow design. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about that. And, I guess, you know, it's challenging for a lot of people. So how did you perfect that for yourself, for your skills?
Gotcha. Well, so eyebrows to me are like the picture frames for your face. Mm-hmm. Everything else can be bomb. And if those eyebrows are wrong, that face is like, who did it?
Right.
And there's so much, like, I call it the Instagram brow and the YouTube brow. If we don't stop putting these Sharpies on our faces... If we don't stop making these blocks on our eyebrows, these straight lines, these question marks,
right.
of these things. So I just was so, so very annoyed by brows that didn't look like hair. Like, oh, and the brows that have like this little fading thing in the front, and then it gets really, really dark.
Uh-huh, I know what you're talking about.
Whose eyebrows grow out their head like that, right? So, and then when you get into like the YouTube and things like that, there is not a such thing as a one size fits all brow. Mm-hmm. Your brow has to go with the size and the shape of your face. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's just been so important to make sure that my clients look like they have hair on their brows.
Okay.
If somebody is standing in front of you talking to you, because sometimes this stuff looks good in a picture. But if I'm standing in front of you talking to you, I don't want to be confused because I'm looking at these brows trying to figure out, are they taped on?
Right.
Are they drawn on? Like, what are we doing?
Right.
So eyebrow design means that I have to evaluate the size and the shape of your face. Mm-hmm. I have to evaluate the size and the width of your eyes. Mm-hmm. Are they close together? Are they far apart? Do they sit perfectly? Are they deep set? Are they, you know what I mean? I have to evaluate all of that to create a brow shape that is perfect for your face. That's going to look good on your face.
Right.
Everybody's brows are sisters, not twins. Okay. So nobody has... Naturally, nobody has two perfect brows that look exactly the same.
Right.
And so when it comes to creating symmetry, I understand that I don't need it to be absolutely perfect. This concealer on top and on the bottom looking like they floating, like somebody just stuck them on your face. We don't have to do all of that. You know what I mean? If you focus on creating hair strokes, if you focus on creating a shape that is natural for that person's face, that is brow design. Mm-hmm. That is giving them what's not there or enhancing what they have to create the look and the shape that they need.
Okay.
So it's a lot that goes into it. I will never, ever be a 2-minute brow girl.
Right.
Because it takes a little longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee that when people get up, they are feeling good about it. They love their brows.
Yeah.
And so brow design can include the hair removal. I do the waxing. I do the shaping. It includes filling in any gaps. It includes creating it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But they look and they feel amazing when they get up and go. Yeah. And you can have your brows, your lashes, and your lip gloss as your accessory. You don't have to put on anything else. Because during the week, who has time?
Yeah.
I'm a makeup artist. And let me tell you how 9 days out of 10, you will see me with lashes, brows, and some lip gloss.
Just keep it straight to the point. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool. So I guess I don't have to be so hard on myself next time I try to do my lashes real quick at the house.
Not at all.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know. So, y'all, let me tell y'all something. My new favorite thing. Y'all heard of yoni steaming? Don't answer all at once. I had my first experience through you a few months ago with yoni steaming. And I'm going to tell you, I am not exaggerating. Like, I had it in a testimonial video. It was an amazing experience. And, you know, I'm laughing and smiling and everything, but so serious. Like, things started happening and started changing. And I'm not just saying that. Like, things were really manifesting even more so, not even a day later after that. And I want to talk about that, you know. I have a million stories about that, but there are a lot of people that may have heard of yoni steaming. They may not have heard of yoni, but that, you know, they don't understand what it's all about and the effects it has on the mind and on the health of the body, and that men can get the same service. So it's a mystery for a lot of people still. There's a mystery for a lot of people still. So I just, you know, want you to kind of go into a little bit about that and just talk about yoni steaming and it's, you know, what it does, the effects and all that stuff.
Absolutely. So yoni steaming or vaginal steaming is a very ancient practice. Our ancestors have been practicing yoni steaming literally for thousands of years. There is evidence of yoni steaming written on the walls of the pyramids.
Wow.
And you know how old they are, right? So essentially what it is using herbs and steam, just nature, right, to heal our bodies. And, you know, not to go too deep and, you know, on the to the left or anything like that. But at the end of the day, we come from the earth. You know what I mean? Our bodies were fashioned from the earth. And everything that is on the earth, in the earth, as a part of the earth, is intended to help us. And so we literally don't have to go outside of what grows under our feet. You know what I mean? Wow. To find healing.
Right.
And so what happens with the steaming is that you put these special herbs, well, special blend of herbs. They're not special herbs. They're just herbs. You know what I mean? But certain blends of herbs, you put them into the water, you boil it, and the steam allows the properties of the herbs to penetrate and go into your cervix, up through your cervix, I should say, into your womb center. And we'll talk about women first, because a lot of us don't recognize, especially in the Western world, how powerful our womb is. That literally is the essence of being a woman. We literally give birth to small humans, which means that we give birth to civilization. We give birth to everything. Show me a man who can create a baby and then I'll stop. I'll stop doing what I'm doing.
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
And so it's so important, and that center for us is so vital. Literally, there are nerve endings to every organ in your body, in your vagina, in your vaginal canal. And so when you are taking care of your womb, you literally are taking care of the whole person, everything. And so some of the general benefits that everybody can receive from yoni steaming in terms of women is it's going to balance your pH. Now, you got to understand that the vagina is intended to be self-cleaning, but we manipulate that system with a lot of our practices, at least, especially in this country. The things that you eat impact your pH. If you smoke, that impacts your pH. If you drink, that impacts your pH. If you're in Houston and you walk around outside, your pH can be impacted. Ooh. Because there's so much in the air.
Right.
You know, let's just get down and dirty. As you have multiple sexual partners, mm-hmm. that impacts your pH. Mm-hmm. Of course, how you care for yourself. So people think, well, I scrub really good and I use this soap and I use that soap. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? You're not supposed to be using soap in that area. So that impacts the pH. So let me say this to be clear. Your vagina is self-cleaning. Your vulva is not. So we need you to get in them lips and get it together, right?
You heard it here first. Hopefully you didn't hear it here first, but go ahead.
But yeah, so what the steam does is it goes in and it balances the pH. So that's going to help with odor. That's mm-hmm. going to help with, for the men folk, taste, and mm-hmm. some women mm-hmm. folk taste. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's going to help with all of that. Steaming also disinfects. And disinfecting doesn't necessarily mean, oh my gosh, she smell like, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that. But there are good bacteria and bad bacteria mm-hmm. that can be in the vagina. And so you want to keep the good bacteria and not have the bad. Mm-hmm. So it helps with that. It helps with cleansing. And just to go back to pH and smell and that sort of thing, every woman has her natural odor.
Right.
Some are stronger than others, but it's their natural odor. Right. It is the pheromone that attracts whatever man to you, right? Mm-hmm. But when your pH is balanced, you have the odor that you're supposed to have. And it's very light. Mm-hmm. It's very, like, you gotta be down there to smell. Like, right, it's not anything that anybody's gonna know.
Yeah.
You know, and so you want that. It helps to balance your mood. Mm-hmm. It helps to improve moisture, and mm-hmm. it's the quality of the moisture. Okay. It's just very different. Okay. It improves tightness. So that's for everybody. Mm-hmm. But then we get into the issues of that women face, especially Black women. So I will say this, and anybody can debate me if they want to. Mm-hmm. In this country, Black women do not receive the same quality of health care mm-hmm. and treatment that other women receive.
Right, that's true.
And so we have the highest numbers of fibroids out of any race mm-hmm. in this country. And you have to recognize that there has been a systematic attempt to annihilate us in any way that we can.
Right,
so
right.
all of the things like the use of tampons are laden with chemicals mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that cause fibroids, mm-hmm. that cause endometriosis, that cause all of these fertility issues, right? Even maxi pads.
Right.
The traditional maxi pads, same thing. Bleached cotton and all of these chemicals that are not good for your body.
All of it. Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
so the things in our foods even can contribute to that.
Right.
And so yoni steaming helps to treat, shrink, and prevent fibroids. It helps to thin the lining of a woman who has endometriosis, which mm-hmm. will help you to be able to have a baby. Mm-hmm. It helps with infertility. It helps with vaginal dryness. It helps with when people are experiencing menopause and they are experiencing pain during sex. Mm-hmm. It's going to help with that because it increases lubrication. It increases the oxygen to the vaginal walls.
Right.
So there's so many things that it impacts. It impacts, like I said before, your mood. Mm-hmm. It impacts just everything. People yeah. sleep better. They do everything, right, literally right. everything. So, and let me get to the men. Of course, men don't have a vagina. They right. don't have a yoni. Mm-hmm. But they do have prostate. Mm-hmm. And steaming helps with all of that. It helps with prostate health. So it helps to make sure that it's not enlarged, and if these men are having issues where they're having to constantly get up and go to the bathroom, that's a prostate issue.
Right.
That shouldn't be the case. So you want that to be healthy as well, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. So I know I've talked a lot, but that's the gist of it.
Yeah.
That's the gist of it. Yeah.
That's good information. That's good information. So how can people get in touch with you for any of your services? What phone number, email, Facebook, IG, you know, all that information.
Sure. So my website is NakimaBrownBeauty.com. And my name is spelled N as in Nancy, Y, K, E, M as in Mary, A, then brown like the color, and then beauty. So NakimaBrownBeauty.com. My email is info@NakimaBrownBeauty.com. Mm-hmm. And my Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter are all NakimaBrownBeauty.com. Or NakimaBrownBeauty, I'm sorry. My phone number where I can be reached is 281-731-9593.
Okay, awesome. I hope you guys wrote that down. She's an awesome makeup artist. She's an awesome woman, just period. So being around her and being in her energy, you won't regret it, I promise you. You can put it on my word on it. I'm telling you the truth, what I know. So I just want to ask you a couple more questions just for fun. One of them is, who's been a big influence in your life?
Oh, goodness. So many people. My mom, for sure.
Yeah.
My mom is definitely a superhero. She raised 5 children by herself, and just up, down, good, bad, never, right. Never, ever, ever, you know, let us go without, never let us, you know, be in a negative situation. And right. So right. Just watching her, I was in high school when she finished her associate's degree, and just, it was just really good. You know what I mean? It was, it's just really good to watch her. So she's definitely a superhero. I sometimes struggle with not trying to choke my one child. So to have 5.
Oh, that's a superhero for sure. Oh my gosh. That, and then to definitely. Be going to school too at the same time. That's amazing. Who do you hope to influence with your work ethic?
Definitely my daughter, mm-hmm. but just any little black girl who looks like me. You know, mm-hmm. I'm dark skinned, I have locks, I was tall, like I've literally been the same height since the 5th grade.
Oh, wow.
I was tall and lanky and you know, super smart and just a regular kid, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But just to know that you can come from anything, mm-hmm. literally anything, and be something and do something and change your life and change the lives of other people. That's what I want people to know. That's what I want people to get. And just never stop. Just never stop.
Never stop, y'all. Never stop. Nakima, what are you grateful for at this present time?
I literally am just grateful for everything. I'm grateful for this gift, this power that God has given me. I have a mantra that I am the infinite creative energy of God. And I literally am so grateful for the ability to see a situation and create what I want in that situation. Mm-hmm. I can make it do what I want it to do. And I believe that if you know that, if you practice that, if you believe that, mm-hmm. you literally can control your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that you're never going to have challenges. You're never going to, you know, run up against anything, but you can fix it.
Yes.
You know, you can fix it. I literally, and I'll say this quickly, I was just having a conversation with my play sister in September. You know, my life changed. Mm-hmm. I literally have changed my entire life in a matter of months.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times when I had, you know, a slow month at the shop and my account is looking like, excuse me, ma'am. And now we got commas again.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yes,
but it was, I'm going to get here and I'm going to do it.
Right.
And so I just want people to know that literally no matter what your situation is, no matter what your background is, if you make a decision, if you do the work, if you stick to it, and if you just expect for God to bring you what you need,
mm-hmm.
you're good.
I love that. That's awesome. So I got a couple of fun questions because, you know, this podcast is called Pinto Beans and Cake, and I'm a big mm-hmm. foodie person, so I got to ask a few foodie-type questions to you.
Okay.
What was your favorite dish from your childhood that you remember?
I am going to go with my mama's broccoli and cheese casserole.
Ooh, I love a good broccoli and cheese with the cheesy too. Was it cheesy, girl?
It was cheesy, cheesy with the little burnt edges, the little brown.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That was my thing.
Yes. So what food item would you say is your weakness?
Baby, give me some crawfish any day. I don't care what diet I'm on. I don't care what my trainer said.
Right.
Crawfish season, I'm now like 2 days a week. Like,
baby,
let's get it.
I love some good crawfish. I'm with you on that one. I like that one. You got a sweet tooth? Think. What's your favorite dessert?
Oh, goodness.
You got to pick one.
Right now, so it changes, right? Right now, I gotta pick one.
You gotta pick one. That's the game.
Right now, I'm a sucker for a good lemon cake.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's gotta be moist and just make you make that face.
Yeah. Right on point. Yeah. Do you like the icing with it or no? Is it like a pound cake lemon cake or is it one of those?
So, I like the pound cake lemon cake if it's got to be moist. If it's that dry pound, I don't like that.
Gotcha.
It's got to have some icing on it.
Gotcha.
But the lemon cake with like the little, I believe that's like cream cheese, like it's melted and like drizzled on it.
Yes, ma'am.
Child.
Yes, ma'am.
Give me the whole cake. Okay. I'm
all right. So crawfish, broccoli cheese, and lemon cake, moist. All right. We got it. Y'all got that for her birthday next year, next time?
October.
Look at it. She put it out there too. I'm going to remind y'all. She going to remind me. Remember when you said on your podcast last year? All right, guys. Well, we are at the end of the podcast. I thank you guys for tuning in and listening to this episode with Nakima Brown Beauty. I always end the podcast with a positive quote and a scripture. Today, the positive quote, do not let the fear of the unknown hold you hostage within your current mindset. Have the courage to consider new opportunities and the faith in your own skill to pursue them. The scripture that I have for the day, don't panic, I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength, I'll help you, I'll hold you steady, keep a firm grip on you. And that's from Isaiah 41 and 10. This concludes our episode. Thanks, guys. A meal without the calories. I hope you will enjoy the journey we take on Pinto Beans and Cake.